tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 24th of June 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, on Monday, during Keir Starmer's leaving speech, when he talked about his proud achievements, he talked about getting migration down, and he talked about getting the number of asylum seekers that were being put in hotels, getting that number down. And of course, I pointed out a couple of months back that the only reason that they're getting the number of hotels down is because they are scattering these illegal immigrants amongst the general community in these houses of multiple occupation. And at the time, we pointed out that the next stop for these illegal immigrants would be council houses. They would be given social housing, which the British people, ethnic British people, can sometimes be on a list for 10 years waiting to be housed. And in places such as London, 60%, up to 60%, I think, in some places, of the social housing is taken up by people that were not even born in the country, let alone are of British ethnicity, but people that were not even born in the country have got these council housing. Well, today we have learned that thousands of small boat migrants are set to be crammed into homes alongside social housing tenants. So this is definitely being done. I mean, these councils, when I spoke about this last time, the councils will say, oh, we've just had a look at this. Nothing's definite. Houses only go to British citizens. They don't go to people, anybody else. Well, quite clearly they do, because this headline from GB News is telling us that thousands of small boat migrants are set to be crammed into homes alongside social housing tenants. So let's see what it says here. Council leaders are considering plans that could see thousands of small boat migrants housed alongside social housing tenants. Around 10,000 asylum seekers are expected to move into residential properties across London, the South East and Wales under the proposals, with some developments set to be shared between migrants and local authority tenants. So they will be put in with the general population of people of British ethnicity who live on the council estates. They're going to scatter these illegal immigrants among the council estates. London, the South East and Wales. I mean, Wales is the one that sticks out there. You've got London and the South East, which are already very multicultural, very, very built up. And then you've got Wales, which isn't anywhere near as multicultural as England. You've got some counties in Wales that are still 99% white. And yet Wales is going to take in these asylum seekers. And part of this is probably because of Plaid Cymru being in power. They have said that they want to turn Wales into a nation of sanctuary, which of course sounds very nice. A nation of sanctuary. You can expect sanctuary from persecution. But what that really means is, we want to give Wales open borders and accept in as many illegal immigrants as we can fit into the country. This is the scandal of Plaid Cymru, who play to people's nationalist tendencies, and the Welsh are an extremely nationalistic and patriotic race. They love their country. They love their people. And because Plaid Cymru say that they're going to protect the Welsh language, and because Plaid Cymru is in Cymric, it's in the Welsh language, they support them. And yet the end result of supporting Plaid Cymru is that you're going to get more and more non-white people brought into the country, and they're quite explicit about wanting to do that. And that's why Wales is on this list. You've got London and the South East, which is already multicultural, and then you've got Wales, which really isn't that multicultural. But what Wales does have is a lot of extremely left-wing, progressive, white politicians that want to bring in as many non-whites as possible into the country. The plans emerged during a Home Affairs Select Committee hearing where Clearspring Ready Homes, one of the government's largest asylum accommodation providers, confirmed it is in talks with two councils over mixed-use housing schemes. I mean, have they asked the people that already live there in these housing schemes whether they want to have illegal immigrants as neighbours? Now, don't forget the increased threat that provides for the people living alongside them. We know that Eritreans and Afghans are over 20 times more likely to sexually assault or rape than the indigenous British population. We know that in Dorset, illegal immigrants are 550 times more likely to carry out rapes or sexual assaults than the indigenous British population. So have they asked the people that are already living in these housing estates whether they mind having this increased threat living next door to them? Of course they haven't asked them, because if they were to ask them, it would be seen as racist. And if they were to speak up and say, well, we're concerned about our young children being sexually assaulted, they would be accused of hate speech, wouldn't they? They'd be accused of racism, because they might not know the facts and figures. At least when I'm pointing it out here, I'm pointing out the facts and the figures. And I'm not saying you should blame the migrants for their actions either. You should blame the government. You should blame Plaid Cymru for encouraging them to come into the country. You should blame the council, which is doing this. You can't really blame people for their cultural practices, which is just the way that they are, but you can blame the government for putting people with those cultural practices which differ so much from our own cultural practices. You can blame the government for putting those people next to you. And of course, Restore has said that anybody that does this, if Restore get into power, they're going to prosecute them. They will end up in jail. Anyone that puts dangerous illegal immigrants alongside the indigenous British population will face trial for doing that. That's one of Restore's policies, a very good policy, I think. Have Restore got a chance of getting into power? That's the question. Should these politicians be scared that they will have to pay for doing this? Because they are the ones that are at fault here for doing this. Don't forget, we also have this new EU plan as well, the third country hubs that countries can send their illegal immigrants to. Well, if the European Union can do that, why can't Britain do that? Why are we having to keep these people here and put them on our council estates? Why can't we just deport them to a third country hub for illegal immigrants in the same way that the EU does it? If the EU does it, then clearly it's not breaking the ECHR or anything else like that. Well, I haven't heard anything about the Labour Party doing this yet, although they have done some deal with Albania, I believe. The company said the sites had originally been earmarked for social housing, but were considered too large to be used solely for that purpose. How can the proposed council estate be too large to be used for the council tenants when you've got people on those council lists that have been there for 10 years? And it doesn't matter how large the estate is, it still wouldn't be enough to keep all the indigenous British people that need housing, that haven't got housing. And yet they're saying, oh yes, we've got houses to spare, is what they're saying here. Does anyone believe that the council have got houses to spare? Well, if they've got spare houses, why have they got anybody still on their waiting list? Under the proposals, the developments would be split between asylum seekers and so-called move-on accommodation for migrants who have been granted permission to remain in the UK. So you would have the would-be asylum seekers, and you would have the asylum seekers that have been given leave to stay as well. So you'd have two different types. And as I say, these statistics where it talked about Afghans and Eritreans, that wasn't actually looking at their legal or illegal status. That was just looking at the ethnicity of the people in the country that have been prosecuted for sexual assault and rape. And they were 20 times more likely to do that sort of thing. When you've got illegal immigrants, which is what it says here, asylum seekers, they're 550 times more likely to. So you really are putting the other people that live in these housing estates, you're putting them at risk, aren't you? Chris Lakey, chief executive of Clear Spring Ready Homes, told MPs the firm's priority was moving asylum seekers out of hotels and into dispersal accommodation. Look at that word there, dispersal. That means scattering them about everywhere so they're not all together in one part of the country that you can avoid, but dispersing them out everywhere, all amongst the indigenous British communities, rather like a scattergun approach. Our main thrust has always been to come away from hotels and to try to get back to our core business, which, as you quite rightly identified, is dispersal accommodation, he said. This is why Keir Starmer, he talks about how we're doing away with the migrant hotels. Yes, you're doing away with them by scattering these people amongst the indigenous British communities. So instead of them all being in one place in this hotel, they're going to be living next door to them. I mean, it's going to be even worse. It's going to be even more of a risk for the indigenous British people, particularly the young girls and the children. Mr. Lakey revealed the company had submitted proposals for 10,000 additional bed spaces to the Home Office, with around half already prepared for use. So this is going ahead. They're already going to be given these homes, which should be earmarked for the indigenous British people. They are proposed, ready to go, and waiting to be turned live, he said. Discussing the mixed-use developments, he added, we are working with two local authorities at the moment that have sites that they are hoping to use for social housing, but they are too big for that. And I think those two, one of them is southeastern London and the other one has to be Wales. So part of Wales is doing this. There must be somewhere with a big housing estate that they're building at the moment, and half of it is going to be filled up with people of migrant heritage. Around 2,500 asylum seekers are expected to move into new properties in the coming weeks. New properties, brand new houses they are being given. Brand new houses living next door to the indigenous British. And could it get any more obvious how despised and detested the indigenous British people are by their elected leaders and representatives? More than 68,700 asylum seekers are already living in dispersal accommodation across Britain, including houses, flats, bedsits, and houses in multiple occupation. And this brings in the problem of finding somewhere to rent. There aren't enough council houses for people to go and stay in and for people to rent. So they say, well, you'll have to stay in private accommodation. You'll have to find private accommodation while you wait on the council list. How are you going to find private accommodation if 68,000 of the spaces in private accommodation have already been taken up by asylum seekers? What about the landlords? Who is the landlord going to prefer to be renting his property out to? The government, that he can charge above the market price to, and he gets all the money up front and the rent is always paid? Or is he going to rent it out to somebody that can barely afford to pay the rent and that might very well default on some payments because of the increase in prices on fuel and electricity and everything else? Unless they're patriotic people with loyalty to their ethnic group, they're going to be more inclined to go with the government, aren't they? Because they know they're going to get more money for doing that. They're going to be guaranteed to get the money. They're going to be guaranteed that the place isn't going to get wrecked, or if the place does get wrecked, that the government will pay to fix it. I mean, this is what causes the private rents to have gone through the roof. I mean, it's far more to rent somewhere privately now than you get on housing benefit, which is the help that the government gives out to people to help them to pay their rent. The amount they give out is enough to pay the rent on a council property, but in some instances a private property is going to be almost twice the amount that the government give you. And the reason for this is because they have too many people that need these houses, and this is just increasing it. So they've taken them out of the hotels and they've dumped them on the housing market so that it's more expensive for young people to rent a property now. When people said they didn't want them in the hotels, they meant they didn't want them in the country. They wanted them deported. They weren't saying they wanted them to be moving next door to them as neighbours. The committee also heard concerns over the cost of the accommodation at the Crowborough site. Housing around 350 asylum seekers costs £160 per person per night, £16 more than the average hotel room. And that's a phenomenal amount of money. This is why these companies would rather be renting to the government and have asylum seekers in them than rent to the public. And they said this is £16 more than the average hotel room for a night. They're paying £160 per person per night, not £160 a week. Per day. Home Office Minister Alex Norris said those costs were expected to fall to around £135 per night by the end of the year, making the site cheaper than hotel accommodation. Cheaper than hotel accommodation? It should be cheaper than rented accommodation, not than to stay in a hotel. It's no wonder these migrants can't wait to get into Britain. They know that they're going to have accommodation that's up to hotel standards and that they'll be given a council house at the end of it. The commitment we have made and our belief is that these types of sites should tread as lightly as possible on the local community's lives, Mr. Norris told MPs. Well, how can they tread lightly on the local community's lives when they're going to be moving in next door to them, when there's this heightened risk of sexual assault and rape taking place where they are? He added that the expansion of dispersal accommodation would help reduce reliance on hotels. Again, the government are so proud of this that there aren't so many hotels, but all they've done is just scattered the migrants amongst the general population. Labour's leadership hopeful Andy Burnham criticised what he described as HMO Britain, arguing that the Home Office needed to rethink how it procured asylum accommodation. I mean, it shouldn't be procuring any. It should be putting them to a safe third country, which is what the EU is doing, if it can't just deport them entirely. Andy Burnham said, I heard on so many doorsteps people's concerns about the unfairness of the immigration system, that cut price approach to procurement that means areas like this can end up like HMO Britain, he said. So he's not saying about sending them back. I think when he talks about the unfairness of the immigration system, he probably means that it's unfair that there aren't enough quote-unquote safe routes into Britain. This is what the left talk about. They say, well, to solve this problem, we need more safe routes into Britain, and then they won't be illegal asylum seekers. They'll just be asylum seekers, and they can just fly in by plane, or they can just come over on the ferry, and then they won't be illegal anymore. And that's the left's argument. We'll just make them legal by providing more safe and legal routes, as if the only problem is that they might drown on the boat when they come over here. Not that they might rape or murder the people that are already here. Labour MP Chris Murray also questioned why billions of pounds were being paid to private contractors rather than councils and housing associations. Again, this is the, you know, this is the reason why a private landlord is going to want to be renting out his home to the government rather than to individuals. Why would we give that £15 billion to a private company and not a council or a housing association if they were able to provide that? He asked. Again, you see, they're just looking at this in completely the wrong way. He's saying, well, why aren't we putting them in the council houses then so that the government money goes back to the council? Well, again, that means depriving the Indigenous British folk of their housing. So the left just do not understand this idea that we don't want illegal immigrants in our country in the first place, and we want them to be deported. And we're not saying that all of them are rapists or murderers. Some of them are rapists and murderers, but there is an increased risk of rape and murder happening where these people are imported to. And the white people that have been raped and murdered would never have been raped or murdered in the first place if the government had not allowed these people into the country where they then went and carried out these crimes. We don't want them here. We want them to be deported either to a safe third country or back to their country of origin. But Chris Murray here, he sees this and he says, oh, the concern is that this money we're paying out is to private landlords. Really, we should be paying out money to the council housing for them. Why don't we put them in council houses? So he's got no concern whatsoever for the Indigenous British people. All he's concerned about here is for the finances, basically, because that's all we are to them. We're just finance. We're just numbers on a spreadsheet. It doesn't matter whether you're on benefits or whether you're working. The banks still need to provide that money. The government, either the government borrows the money or the individual borrows the money. And when they borrow the money, that's when the banks create the money. So the more people that they have in a country, the more gross domestic debt they have, the more these banks own everything. That's what's at the root of this. That's why they don't care if people come in that don't work, because the money still has to be created for them to live. And the government just has to borrow that money in order to pay the benefits bill. And then they'll tax the general population to pay for it. But at least there'll be enough funds in circulation then to keep paying the interest on the loans. It's not about gross domestic product. It's all about gross domestic debt. Home Secretary Shabnam Mahmood has pledged to end the use of migrant hotels before the next election. See, they think the only problem we have is that they're being put up in hotels, not that the problem is that they're in this country in the first place. A spokesman for the Home Office said, "We do not recognise these figures. We are closing every asylum hotel and moving asylum seekers into basic accommodation, including ex-military sites." They're not moving all of them, though, into this basic accommodation. I mean, they've just admitted here they're moving 10,000 of them into council houses. And they probably say that a council house is basic accommodation. When you move into a council house, it's not painted. You don't get curtains. You might get carpets. If you're in Wales, you might not even get carpets if you're in England. So, I mean, it is basic accommodation. So by saying we move the asylum seekers into basic accommodation, including ex-military sites, it's not saying all the accommodation is ex-military sites. It's saying it's just basic accommodation. And I think social housing probably comes under that heading. This is an important step in ending the perception you can arrive in the UK illegally and be put up in a hotel. Well, it's even better, isn't it? You can arrive in the UK illegally and then you can be given a council house at the end of it. And you can be safe and sound in your council house while the Indigenous British folk are dying outside on the streets, dying of frostbite and cold in the winter. He says, "We have already seen results. The population of asylum seekers in hotels has fallen by 35% in the last year and by 63% from the peak under the previous government." Again, where have they gone, though? They're still in Britain, aren't they? They're still in the country. They haven't gone anywhere. They're just not being put up in a hotel anymore. They've been given their own house to live in. Overall asylum costs have already fallen by nearly £1 billion since this government was elected. And that's all sort of jiggery pokery. They're probably taking money from the foreign aid bill, I think, is what they were doing in order to pay for this, which I don't really have so much of a problem with them lowering the foreign aid bill. But the fact of the matter is, these people should not be here in the country in the first place, let alone be given council houses next to the people that already live here. Even if there were no risk at all, if there was no heightened risk of rape or murder, it would still mean that that was less houses that were available for the Indigenous British people. And it means that the private accommodation, the rents on the private accommodation, is going to be so expensive that people just can't afford to live in rented accommodation. And that's the situation that we're getting to within Britain. Well, I've got another asylum news story to get into here. And again, it comes from GB News. And the headline is, "Asylum court cases will take 44,000 years to clear under Labour, despite pledge to smash the gangs." So it's going to take 44,000 years for them to actually read through all of these asylum claims. I mean, it's quite obvious that they're intending to just legalise them all, isn't it? I mean, they shouldn't have any of these claims, because they shouldn't be able to claim asylum unless they're actually in the country that they're claiming that they want to claim asylum to. Like, for instance, if you say, we will accept Syrian asylum seekers, then they would need to apply in Syria, not break into Britain. That would be an automatic disqualification. And they do have places that they will accept asylum seekers from, in these, and that's the safe and legal routes. But they choose to come to the country and break into the country anyway, because they know that that is a guaranteed way of being allowed into the country. They very rarely deport anybody. And because of this swamping of people breaking into Britain without any punishment for it, it's going to take them 44,000 years just to go through the paperwork. That's incredible, 44,000 years. Waiting times for appeals in asylum courts have hit a total of 44,000 years since Labour took power, a new report has claimed. So I guess what they're looking there is how long it will take the asylum courts. And we haven't just got one asylum court, have we? We haven't just got one court. We've probably got lots of courts. But it's still a long time, 44,000 years of hours to go through the backlog. There are 38,866 asylum claims to sift through, and to sort through each and every one will take us back to a time when the English Channel did not exist and woolly mammoths lived in the United Kingdom. The average wait for a judgment on an appeal has hit 14 months in the last 2 years. Statistics revealed by The Sun show lawyers and migrants are costing taxpayers millions each year launching fruitless asylum claims. Completely pointless asylum claims, but while they're waiting to hear the result of their asylum claim, they're given a place to live and they're given money to spend and they're given pretty much everything that they need in order to live. Whereas what they should be doing is sending them back to a third country, like they just said you can now do in the European Union, where they'll be safe from war, such as Rwanda. Rwanda's not at war. They could go there while they wait to hear whether the asylum claim is successful or not. And that would be a deterrent. But instead, we take them into the country, we put them in a hotel for a few months, and then we take them out of the hotel and we put them into social housing. And we give them a council house while they wait. Home Secretary Shabnam Mahmood has announced plans to replace asylum judges with an independent appeals body. But the lengthy wait times still remain. And that's not doing anything about the source of the problem, though, is it? They're just trying to sort of speed things up a bit by having an independent body rather than having to have judges actually look at these appeals. They shouldn't be able to make any appeals if they've broken into the country. The 38,000 claims do not include over 87,000 appeals to overturn failed asylum applications submitted through April this year. This is a 70% year-on-year increase. So Keir Starmer talks about how there's less money going on the hotels, less illegal immigration, yet we've got a 70% increase in appeals against a failed asylum application. So even when the asylum application has gone through and they've been told, no, we're not going to give you asylum, they can then lodge an appeal and wait another few years for the appeal to be heard. All of that needs to stop. We don't need more people to look through these appeals. They shouldn't be allowed to make an appeal in the first place. Immigration and asylum appeals within the UK cost the taxpayer £80 million a year to run. The investigation by The Sun found that London and Manchester were the least effective asylum courts within the Britain. Taylor House in the nation's capital has a 10,888-year backlog, while it is 7,412 years at Manchester Piccadilly. I mean, they haven't got a hope of going through all of these, have they? I mean, we're just swamped in asylum appeals because of this ridiculous law that we have that allows them to just break into the country and then says that we'll put them up until their claim has been heard. Conservative MP Sir Alec Shelbrooke said this is a totally inefficient system. Until we get out of the European Convention on Human Rights, we won't be able to change it. It's bad enough Labour's taken us back to the 70s, but the Ice Age is another level. It's a bad use of taxpayers' cash. The reason we have so many activist lawyers is they know that the backlogs give years of work. And of course, it's all paid for on out of the public purse as well. You get legal aid. If you're an asylum seeker and you're appealing and you're having your asylum claim heard, you'll get legal aid for that. If you're an Indigenous British person and you need legal aid, you'll only get that if you're on benefits. And it can be difficult to get that anyway. A government spokesman said, "We do not recognise the interpretation of the figures. This government has made significant progress tackling the asylum backlog, slashing the number of people waiting for an initial decision by 72% from its peak of 175,000 under the last government. We must go further and faster." And this is their answer all the time. This is Labour's answer. They say, "We're not moving fast enough." Whereas I think for a lot of people in the country, the changes, it's because of how fast these changes are happening that the frog is realising that it's being slowly boiled. When they say that they want to go faster and further, I think that is just going to upset the public even more. Further and faster with these appeals process, faster at scattering them and dispersing them amongst the Indigenous British communities, further in bringing even more illegal immigrants into the country. He says that's why the Home Secretary has announced the most sweeping immigration reforms in modern times, designed to speed up the appeals process and ensure those with no right to be here cannot delay their removal. But of course they can delay their removal if they say that they come from a country like Afghanistan and they would be persecuted if they go back there. You can't send them back there. It's like these ones that carry out rapes and they say, well, we'll deport them. And the judge says you'll be eligible for deportation at the end of this sentence. But the fact is, you can't deport people back to Afghanistan for rape because the Afghanistan authorities will hang them for sex crimes. So they can't deport them. This is the problem here. She says here, or he says here, that the Home Secretary is going to speed up the appeals process and ensure those with no right to be here cannot delay their removal. Do we want the appeals process speeding up? Do we want more of these people being given leave to remain, or do we want them to be deported? And the British people want these housebreakers that have broken into the house that is Great Britain, that have broken into our castle. We want them removed from the country. We don't want them to have a faster appeals process. We want them to be removed. We want them put in prison, if not removed, for breaking into the country. We want some kind of a deterrent to stop them actually coming here. We want there to be a difference between ourselves, the Indigenous British people, and the people that have broken into the country, in the same way that there is a difference between a homeowner and a house burglar that has broken into his home. That's the way that this should be looked at. If a house burglar broke into somebody's home, you wouldn't then put them up in a hotel, would you? They would end up being put in prison, and the homeowner would be entitled to defend himself against them in some cases if somebody's broken into their home. But of course it's the opposite of that when it's illegal immigrants that are breaking in. We put them up in a hotel, and instead of preventing them from coming here in the first place, we think what the British people want is a faster appeals process. Or the British people don't want them in hotels, they want them as their neighbours, which of course is the opposite of what people want. Things don't change, do they? They just get faster. The change becomes faster. And it's always a negative change. But at least more people are waking up to it. I think the more people find out that they're going to be putting these illegal immigrants in council houses, I think that will likely radicalise a lot of the people that live on the council estates. By radicalise, I mean it will make them more right-wing. It will possibly make them against the Labour Party for doing this. Once they start seeing that their next-door neighbours are Afghans, once the young children on the estate are no longer safe, then I think there will be some pushback against the Labour Party, if there isn't pushback already. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.